Welcome to the Midlife Purpose Podcast, where we talk about all things midlife and menopause. This is a place where you can come and break societal norms, raise the taboo on menopause, and redefine the narrative of midlife. Providing empowerment here, you become the healthiest, wealthiest, highest version of yourself. I teach you how to take back your me. I'm your host, Ginger Monzo. Welcome back to the Midlife Purpose Podcast. Well, today is another Me Podcast special guest, and I'm so excited to have this guest on. You know, I truly love bringing guests on that add value to you, our listeners. I met this beautiful lady through a mutual friend that has a beautiful group of Christian women. And I watched some of her trainings when she's come on as a fill-in. And she's just an amazing woman. I truly, absolutely loved her energy. And she's brought so much greatness to me. And now through the group, it's just been amazing. And the energy that she's given off is just incredible. And I truly felt a great connection with her. And I just can't say enough about our special guest today. I really can't. You know, she's just a beautiful woman. And oh my gosh, she's just intelligent. Okay. She holds a master's degree and she is a licensed professional counselor in a private practice. And in the private practice, she specializes in solution-oriented brief therapy. And she's also an author of an award-winning book. And I love this title. Yes, I said no. The book is about how to set healthy boundaries, how to increase your self-esteem. You know, Barbara always leaves an impression. She's super humorous and she's very energetic, like I told you. She is an interactive speaker who leaves her audience totally wanting more. She's a teacher at heart, too. And she's always sharing proven wisdom with, you know, which the positivity that she pulls off brings in. It just changes people's lives. And with 20 years in her experience in counseling for 20 years now, and individuals and couples, you know, she truly has, you know, unique insights and uses these case histories to illustrate the techniques and setting boundaries and increasing self-esteem. And I am totally thrilled to have her here with us today. Barbara Russell, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Ginger. And thank you for all of those warm, kind words. I really appreciate it.
Yes. We're so glad to have you here, Barbara.
Thank you.
Barbara, tell me a little bit about what's your story in all this?
Well, you know, it's really interesting. They say you should always write about what you know. And so that's what I wound up doing, because basically I am a preacher's kid from Oklahoma. So that can explain a lot to those who know about PKs. So, and I had my own set of issues that I had to work through because of that. But one of my big issues that I think contributes to my story is the fact that I felt very insecure as a kid growing up. I didn't have any self-confidence. You know, now I can say, I look back and say, oh my gosh, what was that poor girl going through? But I was able to figure out part of that issue came from my dad. You know, so many of us have daddy issues, so to speak, because, you know, a father and a daughter have that special connection somehow. And we need our fathers to be loving and supportive. And my father wasn't. Mm-hmm. He never said, I love you. He didn't ever say, hey, Barbara, I'm proud of you. He never hugged me. None of that. And so I began to doubt myself, mm-hmm. because I was thinking, hey, here, this is my father. He's a preacher, so if he can't love me, I bet God doesn't think very highly of me either.
Wow.
And what's wrong with me that I don't deserve love? Mm-hmm. Well, part of my story, I found out years later why my dad was so standoffish. And I think that contributed, well, I know it did, to how I was feeling. So let me just tell you, going on a little rabbit trail here, and tell you what happened with my mom. When she was 68 years old, we got a call in the middle of the night one night, and she went on for an hour and a half because she thought she was going to die, and she wanted to tell her story before she died. And her story was this, that her father had sexually molested her for years and years. And all of her 9 siblings had been physically, emotionally, sexually abused. Wow. But back in those days, that wasn't something that you talked about. Mm-hmm. It was very, very shameful. It still can be, obviously.
Yes.
And so she never said anything. But when she got ready to marry my dad, she said, I have to tell you this because I'm quote unquote tainted goods. And she told him what she had never told anybody, and to see if he still wanted to marry her. Well, he said he did. And he made her a solemn promise that if they had children, especially girls, he would never molest them. He would never be inappropriate. She could depend on his not abusing them or even making it look suspicious. Mm-hmm. And so from that promise, after I was probably 3 or 4 years old, then that's when my dad withdrew all of that love and affection and touching and hugs. And I can understand that when my mom told me, but at the time, I didn't understand it. And so I was left with all of this shame and feeling there's something wrong with me. Mm-hmm. So what I did, I kind of kept trying to please him because I thought, hey, if I can do the right things, if I can do really well, if I can say the right things, then he'll love me and he'll say, I'm proud of you. And so I kind of developed this belief in my head that said performance equals love. Mm-hmm. So I became a performer. Well, looking back over the years, that's what I did. And I performed. And actually, hey, you know, performers can be very successful people because we work hard and we try hard and we do things better than anybody else because we're trying to gain love and acceptance. So I did well, all except that little area where I still had daddy issues and problems with authority figures, especially male, go figure. Mm-hmm. But finally, I did get some counseling. Hello, maybe why I'm a counselor today.
Yes, yes.
And got the confidence through that to go back to school. That's when I got my master's, went on to become a counselor. I had been in the medical field for many years and lost that job. So went back to school. And out of that, then I began conducting workshops and seeing people. And I would hear a similar thread from women, especially, because, you know, we're kind of that nurturing type anyway.
Yes.
And we want to please, especially us Southern gals.
Yes, yes.
We can't be rude. Oh, my Lord. No, we can't do that.
Exactly.
And so I became a people pleaser and tried to do everything right. And God forbid that I would ever say no. Mm-hmm. So out of my personal experience and the experience that I began to have of people coming up and saying, hey, that's me too. So that led me to write my first book, Yes, I Said No, about setting boundaries, because I wanted to share the experience that I had had to help other people's, and I still want to do that today.
Oh, that's incredible, Barbara. Incredible. And, you know, love is everything. And when we don't feel love, we don't feel whole.
No.
So, you know, God puts us here to love, to give love, to be love, right?
Yes,
and when we don't get it, we feel whole.
Yes.
I mean, we're not getting it. We don't feel like we're a whole person.
No.
And, you know, bless your dad for that, because what a great man.
Truly.
I mean, truly, in the end, you have to see it as what a great man, because he was obeying what he, you know, what he had given to your mom as a promise.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. That she wouldn't have to be
exactly
worried, you know, here's the man I marry going to do the same thing to his kids. No, I admired him. And that actually helped restore the relationship that I had with my dad when I had that understanding.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because then it could change from a people-pleasing, performance-oriented kid. Even as an adult, I would see my dad, and I'm still trying to earn his approval. And right. I couldn't be me. I couldn't be real.
Yeah.
And that is so important, because you need adult-to-adult relationships after you're grown.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it seems like to me that your dad had some trauma in what your mother experienced.
Oh,
so your mom had the trauma also. And then it was kind of handed down to your dad. So they both had this trauma, you know, about the childhood things. And that is, man, wow. Oh, it goes deep. It really goes deep.
It goes deep. And back then they didn't have a way to process trauma that we know we need to today.
And so like you were saying, like you were saying, you know, you didn't talk about it.
No.
Nobody brought it up. You know, you weren't to talk about it. It wasn't something that you did. And thank God today that we have therapists, right?
Oh, isn't that the truth?
Thank God that we have therapists, yeah. And tell me, Barbara, how can seeing a therapist or a coach be helpful?
Well, do you know what? One of the interesting things that I loved after my mother unburdened herself that night and told us her story, we looked back and she had had so many medical problems. Part of her stomach was removed. She had horrible osteoporosis and problems with bones. She had so many problems because of this secret that she was carrying around.
Well, you know, it has caused dis-ease in the body because it's the trauma, and it caused the disease, which in turn causes a disease. So her body was diseased all this trauma.
It was. It was horrible. You know, and after, by the time she told us that story, I was in school working on my counseling degree. And so I was able to put her in touch with a Christian counselor. Immediately, she reported back, I felt so much better.
What a relief. The burden was lifted. Yes.
It was. So one of the great benefits of speaking to a counselor or a coach is just the burden that it takes off of your shoulders and inside your heart. And you have a safe person to talk to, help deal with all of that stuff and see how the past has affected your present.
Mm-hmm.
Big, big time. I see that in my own clients who will talk about, oh, man, it was so good to have somebody I could talk to, or you brought me peace, or now my life, I feel like I can go on. What a difference. And we all have our stories. People go through traumas of different kinds.
Yeah.
And the more that you can get it out of your head and speak it out, then we know too that it loses half of its power to control you.
Yes.
Yeah. Speaking it, saying it, writing it, admitting it, whatever you need to do.
And as a coach myself, I always have my clients tell me, you know, I feel so much better. I feel like, you know, you analyzing what I'm going through and looking at what I'm going through, it's outside of what's happening. So you go from the outside look at, you know, looking in, and it's just like, you see it differently than they do. And then you can bring that forth to help them better understand in a different perspective what's happening, you know?
Absolutely. So, and that's key.
It is key. So in your book, Barbara, Yes, I Said No. I love that title.
You too.
I do. So one of the chapters in there, I know, is people pleasing is not a spiritual gift. And what do you mean by that?
Yeah, actually, I had to chuckle when I made that a chapter title. But what had happened is that is a real life client that I had who came in. She actually presented with such extreme anxiety and panic that she would even have hives break out all over her body. She couldn't take antidepressants, even though she probably could have benefited from them, but it began a long work of coming down to this whole thing of being a people pleaser. Mm-hmm. Well, one day she just made this statement and she said, but I've always felt like people pleasing was my spiritual gift. You know, we all have spiritual giftings of one kind or other. And she, honest to God, thought that that was her gift. And I'm thinking, well, it's a gift wrapped up in a crisis to present you with some problems here, you know, that you do. And so I made that whole chapter because sometimes people have the wrong idea of people pleasing. Mm-hmm. They think they should do that. They think that's what they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. But no, because we want to give out of the abundance of our heart, mm-hmm. that is coming from the overflow, not because we need approval of people or we want people to think well of us, which we run into when we're people pleasing.
Yeah. You know, I've always, you know, looked into people pleasing and it seems like it's always had something attached to it, such as a trauma. You know, it's got different things attached to it.
Yes.
People pleasing is not really a good thing.
No.
It's really, truly not.
It sounds good. And you know, I think in
Christmas, I think another thing too is it may come from a victim mentality.
Mm. And nobody wants to have that, I don't think. Yeah. But it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of people that have victim mentality have a people pleasing way about them.
Mm-hmm.
Is that?
Mm-hmm. They really do.
Yeah. So what is the key thing for women to understand about men in a relationship?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes. You know, I had to ask that.
Of course. Now we're talking about my next book.
Yes. There you go.
Because my next book is going to be Yes, I Said I Do, about healthy relationships. Mm-hmm. And if I could have both men and women understand this one thing that I have found to be so helpful, and that is this, that in the womb at 9 to 10 weeks gestation, a wave of testosterone comes over the little boy fetus, and it actually destroys half of the hippocampus to replace it with, and the hippocampus is that connecting tissue between the right and left sides of the brain. Mm-hmm. And so men are left with more physical strength, but the connection between both sides of their brains for emotional connection is lowered, and it's lower than women have. So men have to be very economical with what they do in their brain. So they focus on one thing at a time, and they listen one thing at a time, where women have this connective tissue between both sides of their brain, and they're listening and they're talking and they're multitasking and they're, you know, frying up in the supper in the pan, and they're looking after the kids and they're listening to the radio. They're doing all of these things, but guys need to do it one thing at a time. And so women a lot of time can say, you're not listening to me. Well, it's true. He's not. So, because that was back over there. And he has to go from one side of his brain to the other side of the brain to connect with a listening center and then travel back over to the other side before he talks. So when I first realized this and read the research on this, I realized I'd been thinking pretty negatively about my husband, mm-hmm. that he was pretty stupid. you know?
Yeah.
Because when we drive down the road and he misses the turnoff to our exit that we've gone to 3,000 times, I'm saying, how could you not go there? How could you not see that? Because he was talking to me and we were having an in-depth conversation. Mm-hmm. And so it began to change from, it's not a heart thing, it's a head thing. That guys. And so I like to teach couples about that difference and then talk about how we basically handle that differences, because it can create all kinds of misunderstandings, and the guys don't remember and the women have more memory capacity. They remember everything.
Yes. So
it's just a mess, you know, and they think that guys should think and act and talk and make decisions the way they do. It's not true. We're so different. And that's one of the big differences.
Yep. You know, it's really true that, you know, God wired men differently than women.
Truly.
Yes.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, you know, as a relationship coach myself and teaching in depth into relationships, a lot of times women just don't realize that we just have to jump over to their lily pads.
Yeah.
Sometimes. And we just have to see things differently because they are made differently. And, you know, us as women, if there is some kind of conflict between a husband and a wife, you know, she's in turmoil for the whole rest of the day. He's done walked out the door and got in his truck and he's over it.
You bet.
He's done with the situation, to whereas we are sitting there going, I just can't believe he hasn't called yet. He hasn't messaged yet. Da 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 da. Turmoil the rest of the day for the woman. But yet he's just cool and calm and he's already forgotten about it.
He has. I heard that one explanation of how guys bring out a file drawer from a cabinet. They deal with that thing in the file drawer. Then they push it back and it's gone. I think we women leave them all open. So
Yes.
We're handling them all. Yeah.
Our files are always open.
Always. Yeah.
They shut theirs down. Ours are totally nonstop.
That is so, so true. Yeah. So sometimes we say, man, I wish I could handle things like a man, you know, in that way, because they can just go on about their business. And you think, how can you be so uncaring and so unkind?
Yeah.
But it's really because they have that one section and
they're wired different.
Move on. Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing at a time.
Yeah. One thing at a time. And that's just, you know, and sometimes we get angry at them and we have to stop and say, okay, it's fine. You know, God wired you this way. And, you know, I went to a conference one time, a Spark conference. It's a marriage conference. And it's amazing because it's not a conference to where your marriage is in trouble. It's a conference, I mean, to help your marriage grow and understand each other better and how men are different from women.
Yes.
And it's just amazing some of the things that they said. And I was like, okay, problem solved. Now I understand you.
Right. If you get some understanding, because a lot of times we take that as you're doing this on purpose just because you upset me or you don't care or whatever. So,
yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing I found is that many men need, because they're focusing on one thing at a time, they need some time to process what's been going on, especially in a conflict or that kind of thing. So they need to take a time out and come back when they've thought that through. I had a hard time understanding that at first when we would argue, because I thought you were supposed to just argue until you worked it all out. But that's how I would do it as a woman.
Yes.
My husband needed some time to think about that and think what he was really thinking.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah, it really is. Yes. God is amazing. He's made us so different and so unique.
Yes.
It's just amazing. This has truly been a remarkable high-level conversation, Barbara. I have really enjoyed this. And, you know, I want to just say thank you to you. And I want to ask you, are there any final words that you would like to share?
I think the main thing is We have a tendency, particularly as women, to look for what's wrong. Mm-hmm. And that can be included in ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so if I were to have a phrase that I would want women or anybody to remember, really, is that I would like for you to look at the progress you make instead of always looking for perfection.
Mm, yes.
Because we think we got to be there and got to have to have it all together. But, and that can be about our own selves or about our goals in life or whatever. Mm-hmm. But we can get so discouraged if we're always just looking for perfection. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If we start looking at the progress we've made, mm-hmm. Hey, where was I this time a year ago? And look at me now. And what have I learned? And what have I accomplished? We're going to, because we build from strength and we grow from strength, not our weakness, as we've been taught, I think, a lot of times.
Amazing. Yes, that is so amazing. You are truly right about that. And sometimes we don't allow ourselves enough time for that progress to take place.
Right.
We get too, you know, we're quick to think, quick to judge, and we don't allow the time that it needs to get to that progress stage.
Right.
So, tell me, Barbara, if someone's listening that truly wants to connect with you and find you, how can they find you?
Well, there's a couple of ways. I do have a webpage that's barbararussell.com. Mm-hmm. And my name is spelled like Barbara Streisand, B-A-R-B-R-A, Barbara Russell, R-U-S-S-E-L-L. So I have a website, but I'm also active on Facebook and Instagram. Mm-hmm. And you can find me under Barbara Ellen Russell or Barbara Russell. I would love to connect with anybody. My books are on Amazon and Barnes and Noble, lots of different places. I have a book and a workbook from my Yes, I Said No. Mm-hmm. And I would just love, or if somebody needs counseling or anything, I would be happy to see them that way. And there's a way to do that on my website. You can mm-hmm. just fill out an email request. And I would love to talk to anybody that is interested.
Amazing, Barbara. Amazing. Thank you so much for that. And we will attach Barbara's handle, her Instagram handle, her Facebook. We'll attach all the links to her books and how to get in touch with Barbara. And I just want to say thank you so much, Barbara, for coming on and sharing these great things with us. We're really blessed to have you here.
It was a pure enjoyment for me.
Thank you so very much. And thank you all for listening into the Midlife Empress podcast. And if you are looking for a support community, join us on Facebook. If you're a menopause, midlife woman, or just want a special community that loves and supports everyone, we have that there. This is called the Successful Irradiant Women Group on Facebook, or you can also pop on over to the Menopause Mercy Group. We have a group there also that we just love to support women and love on women. And I thank you so very much for listening into the Midlife Empress podcast. If you like this episode, please download, subscribe, leave us a review. This is how women find us. Thank you so much for listening in. And until next time, bye for now.